good morning to all of you again.
Good morning.
I hope you are having a good year so far. Thank God that we have the opportunity to worship and to celebrate His goodness in our lives. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the privilege we have to worship you and to tell the old story. Lord, we thank you for those who have gone ahead of us, who have told this story again and again all their lives. Thank you for their example to us. And Father, today we thank you that we can look into your word and your spirit can bring light and life to our hearts through your word. I thank you that you have said, even as I read this morning, that your word is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God will be adequate, equipped for every good work. Thank you, Lord, for the good works you have prepared for us, that we might walk in them. We pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to us this morning what we need to hear, and I pray that you will bring the response you desire from each of our hearts, because we are here to be transformed, to be changed, to be conformed into the image of your Son Jesus Christ through the work of your word. We bless you for giving us this rich word, this treasure that you have stored up for us, that we can learn of you, know of you, and live the life that you want us to live, for the praise of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen. Well, can you believe it? Christmas has come and gone, and a new year has begun. How is the new year treating you so far? Well, for some of us, nothing has changed. Things are still the same in our lives. Some people really don't even care whether or not their circumstances change for the better. Why? These people are giving up on life. They are throwing in the towel and quitting on life. Still for others, the situations in their lives seem to be going from bad to worse. Even as we begin the new year, some people are facing a possible job loss, or their business has slowed down considerably while their bills keep piling up. But as for students among us, schoolwork is going to be getting tougher and tougher for you. I talked with Rex and he said, I have to start waking up early because I have early classes this semester. Well, schoolwork can get tougher and tougher to the point of overwhelming and discouraging you. Some people already in this new year have lost a family member, a friend, or a fellow worker. There are some people whose marriages are about to end, sadly. Perhaps your health has taken a turn for the worse, and you don't even have a reliable health insurance to cope with that. Well, the point I'm trying to say, to make here is this. The year is brand new and fresh, but nothing fresh is happening in your life. How many of you feel that way? Many, I believe, feel that way. Well, may I say to us that the newness and freshness we desire in our lives is not found, for example, in winning a multi-million dollar jackpot. Some people think that will bring excitement and newness in their lives. The newness and freshness we are seeking is not found in landing a new job with a better and bigger salary, or keeping our New Year resolutions, such as avoiding fast foods and exercising regularly to stay in good shape and be healthy. May I say that none of these things in themselves can bring spiritual refreshment and renewal into our lives. Spiritual renewal and freshness in our lives is found actually in our response to the Christmas story. That is why the Christmas story continues to be told, even after it has come and gone. I want you to consider, how did the world respond to the Christmas story when it was first told? Now let's bring it to our day, turning attention to our day and age. What is your response to the Christmas story? Has your response to it led to spiritual renewal and freshness in your life? Has your response to it brought about a burning desire in your heart to spread its good news to others? Has your response to the Christmas story generated an abiding spirit of rejoicing in the goodness of God? What would your neighbors say of your response to this year's Christmas celebration? And better still, what would you say yourself has been your response to the Christmas story this year? Well, at the first Christmas, that is when God the Eternal Son became a human being in the person of the Lord Jesus, there were varied responses, ranging from acceptance to rejection. From the Magi's desire to worship Jesus, as Rex read for us, to Herod's determination to destroy him. One might even say that the whole New Testament consists of responses to God's mighty act in Jesus Christ. If you take the whole New Testament, it is simply how people responded to God's mighty act in Jesus Christ. Imagine being there at the first Christmas. How would you have responded? With reverence, like the wise men, or with rage, like Herod the Great? With submission, like Mary, or with skepticism, like many of the religious leaders? With acceptance, like Joseph, or with apathy, like the majority of the people of Israel? With rejoicing, like Simeon, or with rejection, like Israel's religious leaders? What would be your response at that first Christmas? With thanksgiving, like Anna the prophetess and widow? Or simply as a touch and go? That is, treating it as something risky, uncertain, or precarious? Or with wonder? Or as a write-off, as many do today. Many people respond to the gospel today, or the Christmas story, as a write-off. They wash their hands from that. Well, having set the stage for our study, I would like you to please listen carefully to the heart of the message God has given me from His Word to present to us this morning. And this is it. The Christmas story, listen, demands a willingness for an open-minded inquiry of His claims, witness to His truths, and then reverent worship of Jesus Christ. It demands a willingness to check it out. It demands a witness to His truths after checking it out. And it demands worship of Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters in Christ, may I say to us that such a response to the Christmas story results in a spiritual renewal vitality and freshness in our lives. Actually, this is exactly what we are going to see for ourselves, specifically in the response of the shepherds to this Christmas story. I chose the shepherds today because they were ordinary, simple people like you and I. And so we can easily relate to them. So please, if you have your Bibles, I would like you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 15 to 20. And will you please listen carefully as I read the word of the Lord. Your response to the Christmas story is the title of this message, and we will look at the shepherds, their response to the Christmas story. Now, please listen carefully. The Bible says, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby as he lay in a manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word. Well, the story I've just read for us is found only in Luke's gospel. In other words, no other gospel writer reported or recorded on this event. So the story is therefore unique to Luke's gospel, yet it has a universal and timeless message for all people. In fact, there is a storehouse of spiritual treasure preserved for us in this passage. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will help each one of us today to seek out, to search out, and to store up these treasures in our hearts, and to allow the Holy Spirit to use them to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to know, and I hope you do too, how did the shepherds respond to the Christmas story as told by an angel of the Lord and then testified to by the heavenly host of angels? Remember in the story that we looked at 2 weeks ago, first an angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds telling them that a Savior had been born. And after he completed his message, the Bible tells us the heavenly host of angels also came and declared the praise of God. So, how did the shepherds respond to the good news the world has ever heard? That is, the long-awaited Messiah had been born. Well, the Bible reveals and teaches that the shepherd's first response to the Christmas story is this: their willingness to check out is truthfulness and actually doing so. The shepherds not only demonstrate to us their willingness to make an inquiry of the claims of the angel about the Savior that has been born, but more importantly, their willingness is backed by their actions. In other words, you can say that the shepherds walked the walk, not merely talk the talk. They say, let's go and check it out. This is what we see in verses 15 and 16. Notice the Bible says, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. The angels proclaimed the good news and then left. Suddenly, as they came, so they left. They appeared all of a sudden, and they vanished all of a sudden. Now, what should the shepherds do? Well, here are some things they could have done. They could stare into the night sky all night long, following the train of the angels that have disappeared. Or they could just stay put. They could begin a song festival, singing to each other. They could savor the moment. Wow, what a great time we had. Or they could set out to find out for themselves the truthfulness of the story that had been made known to them. This is exactly what they did. Now please, I want you to take note of this. No expressed command was given to the shepherds by the angel of the Lord to go to Bethlehem. The angel of the Lord did not give them a direct command to go to Bethlehem. He only gave them a twofold sign. If you go to Bethlehem, this is what you see: a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and in a manger. He didn't tell them to go. No order, command to go. Although no specific command was given to the shepherds, yet they spontaneously set out for the stable where the baby Jesus lay. This, folks, I tell you, is a response of faith. This is a willingness for an open-minded inquiry of the claims of the Christmas story. What an example the shepherds are to us. When they heard the good news of great joy at the first Christmas, their response was not, "Let's wait and see what will come out of this." Rather, they went right away to check it out for themselves. They took the time to inquire, to investigate, and to search out the truth concerning the Savior who has been born to save sinners from their sins. So as soon as the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the Bible tells us the shepherds wasted no time. They headed straight to Bethlehem. They hurried off. They went in haste. They had a sense of urgency and excitement and determination that propelled them to the baby's side in Bethlehem. Some people's response to the Christmas story, and for that matter the gospel, or the good news, is "Let's wait and see." Not a willingness to check out its claims. Do you know anyone who has been responding to the Christmas story, or for that matter the gospel, in that way, with "Let's wait and see" attitude? Or is that how we have been responding to the Christmas story ourselves? Well, I'm here to tell us such a response will never bring spiritual renewal and freshness into our lives. It will only make us, or such a person who responds to the Christmas story with a "let's wait and see" attitude, that such a person will be an eternal loser. When the shepherds hurried to Bethlehem, what did they see? They found what they were looking for. Verse 16 tells us that they found Mary, Joseph, and the baby, Jesus, in a manger. In other words, their willingness to check out the claims of the Christmas story was what? Rewarded. They were not disappointed. The Lord Jesus himself later taught, "Seek and you will do what? Find. For everyone who seeks finds." In Jeremiah chapter 29, the Bible also points to that promise of finding when we seek. The Bible says in verse 13, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord." The shepherds found this promise to be true in their lives. They can write in their journal, I have tested this promise of God, that if I seek, I will find. They found exactly what they were looking for. Well, the shepherds were probably the first to visit the Christ child, since Matthew's gospel reveals that the wise men did not arrive until much later. So these were the first people who saw the child Jesus as a baby. Now, I want to bring this to a point of application for us. The response of the shepherds. Have you told someone of late to check out the claims of Jesus Christ with an open heart and an open mind? Have you responded to the Holy Spirit's prompting to urge your neighbor to examine the truth of who Jesus is and what he has done on the cross for the salvation of sinners with an unprejudiced mind? Please mark this well. Anyone who examines the claims of the Christian Christmas story with willingness, with an open heart and an unprejudiced mind will be blessed like the shepherds. Why? Jesus will reveal himself to that person. Now, I would like you to take note of an important observation of the simple faith that the shepherds displayed in the Lord himself. Notice how they expressed their simple and sincere faith in God himself. The latter part of verse 15 says, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which has told us. Which the Lord has made known to us. Now, I thought an angel of the Lord first announced to them the good news of great joy that a Savior has been born. And then the heavenly hosts of angels adored God and delivered the message of goodwill to them. How is it that the shepherds are now saying, the Lord has made this thing known to us? Well, please listen. It is because these shepherds, simple as they were, sincerely believed that the angels were sent by the Lord and that they were doing his bidding. In Psalm 103, verse 21, the Bible tells us of the angels and their work. In verse 20, the Bible says, bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. So the angels, the shepherds, believe that these angels came directly from God and delivered his message to them. And so they could say, the Lord has made this thing known to us. Not just angels, but the Lord himself has made this known to us. Well, the shepherd's response to the Christmas story did not stop at their willingness of checking out its truthfulness for themselves with an open mind and actually doing so. They didn't just say, let's go straight to Bethlehem and sat down. They actually journeyed to Bethlehem. Well, their response went a step further to bearing witness to the truth that had been revealed to them. And that is what we now see as the second response to the Christmas story by the shepherds. And I want you to listen carefully to it. What is their second response to the Christmas story? It is this. Their witness to the things they had been told concerning Christ. Well, this is what verse 17 is all about. The shepherds witness concerning the things they have been told about Christ. Would you please listen carefully to what the Bible teaches about the witness of the shepherds in verse 17. The Bible says, when they had seen this, they shut their mouths. No, it says, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. Earlier in verse 15, the Bible tells us the shepherd says, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing which the Lord has made known to us. Now in verse 17, the Bible says, when they had seen this, they made known. Two times the word made known is used. First, God made known to us. Secondly, they made known to others. Take that very carefully, because God has a lesson to teach us. What is the spiritual principle God is teaching us here? Please listen carefully now. What God has made known to us about Jesus Christ, He expects us to share with others. Write it down. What God has made known to us about Jesus Christ, He expects us to share with others. Now, if God's people could lay hold of this simple yet significant spiritual teaching of Scripture, what a powerful difference it will make in our personal witness for Jesus Christ. The shepherds at the first Christmas are a powerful example of what witness for Jesus is all about. I personally believe that Apostle Paul even learned from the witness of the shepherds and propelled himself to be like the shepherds in their witness. These shepherds, listen, could not keep the good news to themselves. They wanted everybody to know it. And so the Bible tells us they made known or revealed or disclosed or spread the word concerning what had been told them about Jesus Christ. In other words, they shared the good news of great joy. They spread the word concerning the Savior who has been born. They sought out others who needed to hear the wonderful news that a Savior has been born to save sinners and to reconcile them back to God. These shepherds therefore became the first evangelists of the Christian era. Now don't think of that title as given to just special people. Ordinary people like you and me can be evangelists of God. These shepherds were like the prophet Jeremiah, who says in the Spirit in Jeremiah chapter 20 verse 9, but if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. The shepherds could not hold that good news. They wanted it to be shared with others. There is a hymn. The hymn, Set My Soul Afire, is based on this verse in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. The first stanza says, set my soul afire, Lord, for thy holy word. Burn it deep within me. Let thy voice be heard. Millions grope in darkness in this day and hour. I will be a witness. Fill me with thy power. The second stanza says, set my soul afire, Lord, for the lost in sin. Give to me a passion as I seek to win. Help me not to falter. Never let me fail. Fill me with thy spirit. And then the third and final stanza says, set my soul afire, Lord, in my daily life, Far too long I have wandered in this day of strife. Nothing else will matter but to live for thee. I will be a witness, for Christ lives in me. The refrain of this hymn says, set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Now, I want to ask you, is your life a consistent and competent witness of the saving power of God? Is your heart burdened for the millions of lost souls who are groping in the darkness, waiting for God's word from you to lead them into God's light? Have you recently told someone about Jesus, your Lord and Savior? Remember we sang the song, I love to tell the story. Do you love to tell the story of Jesus to others? Better still, have you, in reliance on the Holy Spirit, made it a habit of sharing what you know of Jesus with others who do not know but need Him desperately in their lives? Well, this is the response God expects of us to the Christmas story. The shepherds display their willingness to check out the truth. But after they checked it out and found it to be true, they bore witness to that. Now please notice very carefully that the shepherds didn't give excuses for not being able to share the good news. They didn't say, God, well, we don't have all the answers to the questions people will be asking us out there. So we better be silent until we complete taking evangelism classes. They didn't say, we'll make a fool of ourselves if we tell others about the good news of great joy. They didn't give the excuse, oh, because of the fear of rejection of others, we better shut our mouths and not spread the wonderful news of the Christmas story. Again, they didn't say to God, what if we fail? God, you know we suffer from the fear of rejection, the fear of failure. Well, they didn't hide behind any of these excuses which we give today. Rather, they boldly spread the word concerning what had been told them about Jesus. What is bearing witness or being a witness? It is simple. You simply tell others what you know of Jesus as well as live it out. That is witness. And that is what we see in the lives of the shepherds. Well, before the Bible gives us the final response of the shepherds to the Christmas story, it pauses to present a brief report on the response or the reaction of those who experienced the witness of the shepherds. What was their response or their reaction? Well, the Bible tells us it was one of wondering and pondering. The people wondered and Mary pondered. This is what verse 18 and 19 are all about. First, let's look at the wandering of the people in verse 18. The Bible tells us in verse 18, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. Literally, this verse reads, and all the ones hearing marveled concerning the things spoken by the shepherds to them. Now, notice the Bible is strongly emphasizing that the marveling or the wondering or the amazement of the people came as a result of what? The shepherds' witness. In other words, the Bible is saying without the sharing or the spreading of the good news by the shepherds, there will have been no wandering among the people. Similarly, without your witness, our witness, many people will be left in the dark and unaffected by the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. What a great privilege and responsibility God has given us to play a part in His redemptive plan. In other words, God uses your witness and my witness to touch other people. In this story, the Bible shows us that the witness of the shepherds caused a considerable surprise or amazement among the people. There were a lot of wow moments among the people. They were excited, enthused, elated, and ecstatic. Normally, when people are excited, usually the emotional energy runs high. But the question is, did the excitement bring a real change of heart and spiritual renewal in the lives of these people? Did all of them follow the shepherds worshiping Jesus? Well, may I say to us, just because the people were amazed, enthused, and excited, doesn't mean it brought about a real change of heart and spiritual renewal and refreshment in their lives. In fact, the Gospels show us that many people were amazed at the words and works of Jesus Christ Himself, but didn't change for the better. Actually, one of the threads that run through Luke's gospel is this theme of amazement, marveling at the works of God. Again and again, Luke reported on how people were amazed at the works of Christ. Actually, let me just read a few of that for us. In Luke chapter 4, verse 22, remember Jesus is in his hometown. And the Bible tells us in verse 22, after he read the scripture from Isaiah, the Bible says in verse 22, "And all were speaking well of him and wondering," that's the same word, "at the gracious words which were falling from his lips. And they were saying, is this not Joseph's son?" And later on, when Jesus visited his hometown again, what happened? He said he could not do many miracles there. Why? Because of their unbelief. They were amazed, but necessarily were not changed. In Luke chapter 9, verse 43 and 44, we have another amazement of the people. The Bible says, "And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. But while everyone was marveling at all that he was doing, he said to his disciples, 'Let these words sink into your ears. For the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men.'" So the people saw Jesus perform miracles, but necessarily were not transformed. But in contrast to the overreaction of the people, the Bible tells us Mary, on the other hand, meditates on the meaning of it all. She had a deeper understanding of what was going on. This is what we see now in verse 19 about Mary's response to the Christmas story. The Bible tells us that Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. Notice how verse 19 begins. It begins with, "But Mary." What is the Bible trying to teach us from that expression, "But Mary"? Well, it is simply showing us the striking difference between Mary's response and the people's excited reaction to the shepherd's witness. Mary's response to the shepherd's witness deeply touched her heart, causing her to treasure all these things and to ponder them in her heart of heart. Her response was therefore different from that of the people, which was mostly superficial, on the surface, at the emotional level. Actually, this is not the only time the Bible speaks of Mary treasuring or pondering the things of God. In Luke chapter 1, verse 29, the Bible tells us Mary was pondering when angel Gabriel greeted her. The Bible says, but she was very perplexed at the statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. And then in Luke chapter 2, verse, let me read from 47 to 51, when Jesus was left behind and his parents left behind in the temple, and his parents went back and found him in the temple, this is what we are told. First, verse 47 says, and all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. So this is one of the amazement. The people, the religious leaders, heard Jesus, were amazed, but later on they wanted him crucified. When they saw him, they were astonished, that is his parents. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. And he said to them, why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house? But they did not understand the statement which he had made known, he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. And he continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. It seems for Mary, treasuring God's truth and pondering them in her heart was a way of life. How about us? How often do you take time to ponder God's word in your heart? Would you say that treasuring the truths of God and pondering them in your heart is a way of life for you? Not something that you try just to do once in a lifetime. Now, would you please notice the final response of the shepherds to the Christmas story? What was their final response? Well, their final response is the best of all. That is their worship of God. Would you please notice how the story ends in verse 20? The Bible tells us, the shepherds went back doing what? Glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. The shepherds' experience at the first Christmas not only issued in witness, but also worship. Actually, the Bible gives us a progressive report on the response of the shepherds. It all began with their willingness to check out the truthfulness of the Christmas story, and actually doing so. And that was followed by their witness to its truth. This finally led to their worship of the one true God of the universe. The shepherds, the Bible tells us, glorified or magnified or honored, exalted and praised God. That, I tell you, my brothers and sisters, is what worshiping God is all about. Magnifying, exalting, extolling his honored name and praising him. Now, watch this. These shepherds, ordinary and simple as they were, knew better. Why did I say that? They did not worship the angels. They worshiped the Almighty God, the Creator, Sustainer, and Ruler, and Lord of the universe. So from the shepherd's response, we learn that worship of God, not just on Sundays, but as a way of life, is the proper response to the 2,000-year-old Christmas story. Now, as I close, here is something I do not want you to miss. Did the shepherds set up camp and settle forever at a Savior's stable? Did they spend the rest of their lives at a stable? Did they linger or loiter around the manger? Not at all. The shepherds returned to the fields, and the sheep to their homes, their wives, their children, their relatives and friends. Although their jobs and their homes were the same, they themselves were not. They were new people in the old situation. They experienced spiritual renewal and freshness in their lives. As the simple, ordinary shepherds returned to their flocks, they returned transformed forever by the experience God chose to give them. They had been changed by seeing Jesus. They had a new spirit of wonder and worship in their hearts. May I say to us again, the proper response to the Christmas story brings spiritual renewal and refreshment into our lives. In other words, the discovery of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is still a transforming and renewing experience. Billy Graham often says, it puts a new light in our eye and a new spring in our step. The shepherds returned to their flocks, changed, transformed, and overjoyed at all that they had heard and seen. They had a new light in their eye and a new spring in their step, and were overflowing in the worship of God. The Magi came to worship, and the shepherds had already set the example of worship of God. How are you responding to the Christmas story? With a willingness to check out its truthfulness, or with an open heart and unprejudiced mind, or with a wait and see attitude? If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior from your sins, this is the time to do so. Why do I bring this? The Bible says from this story, today a Savior has been born for you. It also says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. And again it declares, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Simply confess to Jesus Christ that you are a sinner in need of His saving grace and thank Him for dying on the cross to save you from your sins. That's for anybody who is not a believer. Now, if you are already a believer in Jesus Christ, how are you responding to the Christmas story? Are you responding with a renewed commitment to bear witness for Jesus, even as the shepherds did? Or are you responding the way you've always done in the past, hiding behind your many excuses for not sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Are you responding with a renewed passion to make worship of God as a way of life, not just a Sunday duty? Your response and my response to the Christmas story determines whether or not there will be spiritual renewal and refreshment in your life and my life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this story that you have presented to us. I thank you so much for the shepherds, their example to us. Lord, I am ashamed of myself, my lack of zeal and passion to spread your good news, even as the shepherds did. Lord, I do pray that you forgive this fellowship for our lack of our slothfulness, as my brother mentioned earlier in our confession time. Our slothfulness in this area of bearing witness. Lord, forgive us and put a new fire in our hearts that we may be people who bear witness, telling people to check out the Christmas story, the gospel, the claims of Christ, with an open heart and mind, and Father, encouraging them. Lord, we need your help, because without your help, we will continue to fail. Father, forgive us for all the many excuses we have given ourselves for not stepping up out there and being among the people who need to hear. As we mentioned in that song, Set My Soul Afire, there are millions of people who are groping in the darkness, waiting for a word from us, your word from us. Lord, equip us and put your words in our mouth and help us never to hide again behind our excuses for not stepping out to being a witness for Christ in our day and in our age. Lord, I lift up those who are not with us today to you. I pray that you might refresh them, renew them, as they also consider what you have done through the shepherds. We pray that you will bless the future of this church as you guide and direct us. We need your help. O God Almighty, come, and do your work among us. These things I pray with thanksgiving in the precious name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen.